Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Letter to the Romans. The faith of Abraham is legendary because he persevered against seemingly insurmountable odds, but that is not how he started out. Abraham had limited faith when God called him to Canaan, and it was virtually non-existent when Sarah was approaching 90 and still had not received the son which God had promised. All that changed after Jesus made a personal visit on the plains of Mamre. The Bible says faith without works is nothing, and Abraham and Sarah began living out their faith by making love on a regular basis despite their old age. All the unbelief was gone as they came together expecting a miracle. This message is entitled, Journey of Faith. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad you're here today as we're going to study from the letter to the Romans. And today we're going to be talking about journey of faith. A journey of faith. I had a phone call yesterday from Brother Bob. And he's my inspiration for sermons. If I didn't have Brother Bob, if I had no sermons to preach. Anyway, Bob said this. Why is it that we don't see the miracles we used to see in the years past? Why is it? And I thought about that. I've been praying myself. And I want to share this with you. What probably have affected me in my personal life. My wife and I became to Christ in 1965. And we joined the Southern Baptist Churches in 66. And we were so excited. We thought everyone loved Jesus in the church. And we thought, you know, every word in the Bible is true. And we had faith for this and that and so on. And we just took off. And for years, we cast out demons, we prayed for the sick, and so on. But then I met the Bucket Brigade. The Bucket Brigade. Let me explain who they are. In the old days, before we had electricity and the stuff we have today, but there was a fire. They would simply line up 100 people, 200 people, and they would have a line, and they would have buckets, and they would simply fill the buckets over here and pass it with a bucket brigade, and the last guy would put it on the fire. That's a bucket brigade. Now, every church has a bucket brigade. These are people that have been called to criticize. They have been called to break churches up. They have been called to have unbelief. And so, over the years, I kept meeting the bucket brigade. You can't do this. Where's your faith? Now, God does not do that. What's wrong with you? And I was so criticized that over the years, I began to hate my own name. When somebody said John Terrell, I don't want to hear that name because I've just been lambasted for years. Always criticized, criticized, more criticism. You know what it did? It took away my joy. And it affected my faith. And I simply began to just mechanically do things. And I had lost the ability to simply say, God can do it. I have faith for certain things. But if you look at today, I'm not sure that God will hear my prayer. This is where most of y'all are. This is where Abraham was. Let's begin by reading Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17. As is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him who believed, even God, who quickens the dead, calls those things which be not as though they were. Over the years, God raised the dead. He done many, many different miracles. And he called Abraham to be the father of many nations. I want to use my time today to look upon Abraham in a timeline, how he started out. So let's turn over to Genesis chapter 12. That is Genesis, the 12th chapter. And you're going to read the first 7 verses. When Abraham was called by God to go to the land of Canaan, he had faith that God had spoken to him, but he did not have a personal relationship with God. He had never seen God. He had heard the voice of God. He had had visions, but he never had seen God. He had faith to go to the land of Canaan. And we read this. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get you out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. I want to stop on verse number 3. This is a verse that Christian Zionists are using today. God never said, if you do not bless Israel, you will be cursed. This was a personal covenant between Abraham and God. Had nothing to do with Israel. I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the soul that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land of the place of Shechem unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto your seed will I give this land. And they built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. When Abraham left Haran, he had with him his wife, his nephew Lot, and his wife, and approximately more than 1,000 people. So Abraham was not just walking with his wife and Lot and his wife. There was a huge group of people going. We know later on that Abraham had 300 trained men. They were fighters. Their families. He had servants. He had sheep herders, camel herders. So there was a bunch of, it was a big caravan coming down. And they went into Canaan's land, the land of Canaan. When he came, now he was 75 years old. He was full of life, powerful, and he had a certain faith that God had called him to go to the land of Canaan. Abraham's faith in the beginning was weak. He had faith, but his faith was weak. Most of the time, we don't talk about our faith because we're struggling. And very seldom have I heard a person in a church I've been pastoring coming up and saying, I really have a problem with faith. I don't have that much faith. I never heard that. People don't want to admit they got a faith problem. But we do have a faith problem in different degrees. And because most of us have had an arrested development spirit, we have been criticized over the years. We have had a lot of failures. We don't think highly of ourselves. And we don't feel worthy for God to answer our prayers. In Genesis chapter 12 there, we go down to verse number 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Let me just say this to you. Who do you think caused the famine? God. God wanted to test Abraham. So he created a little famine. He done that later. He done it before. And it came to pass, when he was coming near to enter into Egypt, that he said to Sarah, his wife, Behold now, I know that you are a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see you, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save you alive. You ever heard the term knockout? Well, Sarah was a knockout. She was a beautiful woman. At this time here, she was in her 60s. But she was beautiful. She had not lost her body weight. She had not any wrinkles. Her hair was beautiful. She was a gorgeous woman. Now, Abraham was blessed. But now you see, it was also a liability. Because in those days, kings, noblemen, and others, if they would see a man and a wife, and they said, Man, I like that wife. They would simply say, Go and get that man, cut his head off, and bring me the woman. That was a custom. So Abraham now, look at his wife. Going to go to Egypt, he said, Now, I'm not sure that God will protect me. Don't blame Abraham. The same thing for you and me. It's one thing to walk into a land. It's another thing to walk into a different territory where there's a king and soldiers, and they have the power to remove your head. So I pray you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and my soul shall live because of you. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptian beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princess also Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Sure enough, just like Abraham thought. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake. He had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that you have done unto me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife? Now therefore, behold, your wife, take her and go your way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. This was a test. You and I, all the time, are tested. We are tested financially. We are tested with our health. We are tested in relationships. There is always a test because God wants to build our faith. And our faith only grows when it is tested. If you have all the money, you are not sick, you got lots of stuff, who needs faith? Faith is needed. But you might be seeing that you're going to have a car accident. And you realize, in a split second, we're going to have an accident. That's where you need faith. Someone says, well, how do you do that? I've been in two car accidents. But we had something happen. And I give you one example. We're traveling on the Autobahn in Germany, 73, in our van. There were 14 people in the van. At that time, speed limit was whatever you want to drive. I was doing 120 miles per hour, not kilometers. And we were cruising. And I was just passing truck after truck. We came up to one, behind one truck, and just as I was driving up, going to pass him, I saw his front, his left front wheel fall off. Boom! Went over my lane. I was going too fast. I was already up behind him, passing him. And I realized that the truck beginning to lean. And I knew he was going to roll. He's going to roll right on us. My wife, others, they looked, and there was one word they said I heard. Jesus! Jesus! It reverberating in the van. I was sitting there, and I saw that truck being righted up. No wheel on the left side of the front. We shot past. That truck was steady. We got about 40 to 50 feet past him. I saw him roll behind me into the other side of the Autobahn. Faith. It was a faith of the people in the van that cried. There was no time to have a fancy prayer and said, dear Jesus, we want this and that. They just called on Jesus. And we had it. I've had several instances that we had that. We can have things happen. We can have protection if we take our time and we believe it. Let's turn on to chapter 14 of Genesis as we traveled here with Abraham. Chapter 14, have you picked it up in verse number 13? Abraham was not a coward. I don't know if Abraham rode a camel, if he rode a horse, what he rode. But 75 years old, he was still strong enough to swing a sword and to ride either a camel or a horse. And we find here that his nephew Lot had been captured. He heard about it, that these bandits had simply taken his family and went off with them. And Abraham didn't pray and say, okay, God, can you sent them angels. There are certain things you and I can do ourselves. If you need to cross a river, there's no boat, there's no bridge, and you absolutely have to cross it, you can pray and you can walk on water. But if you got a boat, if there's a bridge, God's not going to say, okay, I'll let you walk in the water. Anytime when we can in the physical, with our personal stuff that we have, we can do it. God will bless us. But don't expect angels to do what you can do. I know a lot of people that are on welfare. And they simply, you know, they says, well, you know, we want the money to come to us. Now, when you get your welfare check, or let's say, you know, you can't say, okay, now, angels, here's the cash, go and buy me the food. So the angels go and buy your food, bring it home. They set it down. And you said, angels, cook the food. So the angels cook the food. And then you said, now, angels, I don't want to chew the food. I'm just going to open my mouth. I want you to chew it for me and put it in my mouth. That's not going to happen. If you get the money, you do the shopping. You do the cooking. We need to learn to do what we can do. And this is what Abraham did. He was not a coward. In verse number 13, and there came one that had escaped and told Abraham, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre. The Amorite brought up Eshcol and brought up Abner, and these were confederate with Abraham. But Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants, built his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. He divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, smote them, pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Now Abraham, or Abram as he's called here, did not send his soldiers out. He went out with them. He led them in a fight. He was right at the forefront. He was a master planner. He divided them up. They attacked. They pursued. Abraham was a very brave man. He was not a coward. But he had a problem with faith. Let's turn now to chapter 15. That's chapter 15. And we're going to read the first five verses here. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me, you have given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if you be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. God now was in a vision. And he spoke to Abraham and said, see the stars up here? Can you count them? No. That's how your seed is going to be. That's how many children you're going to have. And at that point, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted him for righteousness. Let's really go a bit deeper here now. Picture now Abraham standing there at night. He had a vision of the Lord, and he heard a voice, God speaking to him. He looked up to the stars, and he saw them. At that moment when he saw all the stars, dots all over the place, he believed. He really believed that God was going to do it. The problem was, he did not know how God was going to do it. This is the same thing for you and me. We are facing different situations on a daily basis. A job situation, family situation, health situation, financial situation, things that you need to do in the future that you do not have the means for right now. And God has commissioned you and said, this is what I want you to do. And you have faith and says, okay, I believe. But you don't know how is it going to be done. How is God going to do it? If now, turn to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. Another test. Another famine. And God simply caused another famine. Genesis 20. We pick it up here in verse number 1. And Abraham, he got his name changed now, journeyed from thence to the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man for the woman you have taken, for she is a man's wife. And Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you also slay also righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said to him in a dream, yea, I know that you did it in your integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I you not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man, his wife, for he is a prophet. He shall pray for you. You shall live. If you restore her not, know you that you shall surely die, you and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all the things in their ears. And the men were sore afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done unto us? What have I offered you that you have brought? What have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what do you say? You have done the thing. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Look upon that statement. Abraham said, yes, I did lie. I had fear. I had fear for my life. I didn't think that people here worship God. And because if they were not worshiping God, then God could not protect me. Let's be honest right now with ourselves. Do you have faith to believe that God loves you? Do you have faith to believe that your righteousness is not yours? It's not the good works you've done. It's not the money you've been given. is not because you read the Bible and pray. You are righteous because you have the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness. We are sanctified by Him. We are made righteous. We are forgiven. We are washed in the blood. You and I will never, never come to the place where we can say, oh God, see what I've done? I'm worthy now, Lord, because I've done all these things. Do you love me now, Lord? And Jesus looking upon you and saying, you got it all wrong, man. You can never please me with your works. I saved you. I healed you. I made you righteous. I made it for you. All I want you to do is to trust me and believe that I love you. Believe that I love you. You don't have to work anymore. We do good works because we're saved. But this is where God wanted Abraham to come to. Faith in God was his righteousness, not what he did. And then he said, yet indeed she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. She was a half-sister. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is your kindness which you shall show unto me. At every place where you shall come, say of me, he is my brother. Lying. Why do we lie? Fear. Let's move on to Genesis chapter 16 right now. The unbelief of Sarah. Genesis chapter 16. And I want to pick it up in verses 1 through 3. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Actually, Hagar was a slave. She was a slave woman. And Sarah said to Abraham, behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray you, go into unto my maid, it may be that I might obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. He'd been now in a land for about 24 years. He was getting up now to about 100. Sarah was in her late 80s. And as far as the faith goes here now, Abram's faith was zero. God said, some 24 years ago, you're going to have a son. Where's my son? Haven't seen him. We tried. She didn't get pregnant. So he simply listened to his wife. The unbelief came over him. And he thought, well, this is a good idea. It's a good idea. You know, I marry Hagar, get her pregnant, and I got a son. And that way, God does not have to do anything supernatural. Helping out God. Anytime you do something that God does not say, it's going to end up in a disaster. Look at verse number 4. And went into Hagar, she conceived. When she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. In other words, she looked down upon Sarah now. And Sarah said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you. I have given my maid into your bosom. When she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and you. Now, Abraham should have simply told Sarah, shut up. You caused the problem. Now live with it. But you know, Abraham here did not stand up. He committed a sin. And Abraham said to Sarah, Behold, your maid is at your hand. Do to her as it pleases you. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. He simply said, abuse her. Whatever you want to do. Abraham, he had problems, just like you and I had problems. Let's turn now to Genesis 17. Have you read there a few verses here? And when Abraham was 90 years old, at 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be your perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you. And I will make you exceeding fruitful. I will make a nation of you, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your seed after you in their generation, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to your seed after you. Now, God said here now to him, I'm going to do something great in your life. Look in verse number 17. I want you to see Abraham's response. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Abraham's faith was so low that he simply laughed. He had a belly laugh. He laughed so hard he fell on the ground and rolled around and laughed at God, saying, wow! Ha 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 ha! What a joke! He was just like you and I. He didn't trust God. He didn't think God could do it. So here was he said, let's make a deal. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He said, I got Ishmael. God, we got a son here now. Use him. Anything you do that is not in God's will turn to dust. God simply said this, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. You shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. It is obvious now that God had taken Abraham as far as he could take him. And this is the same thing with you and me. Sometimes we need a visit. We now have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not working before the cross like he does now. And Jesus had to go personally and talk to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18, we read from verse number 1. And the Lord appeared to him in the plain of Mamre. And he sat in a tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them for the tent door. And bowed himself to the ground. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet. Rest yourself under the tree. I will fetch you a morsel of bread. Comfort your hearts. After you shall pass on. For therefore you come to your servant. And they said, so do, as you have said. Jesus now, this is Jesus, came in the form of a man. Two angels. He realized this. I have to go and talk to Abraham face to face. He needs to see me. He needs not only to hear my voice, but he needs to see me. We do not know how long Jesus was there. They went out and killed the calf. They dressed it. They cooked it. They cooked bread. Probably a few hours. So for probably 5 to 6 hours, Abraham standing there, communicating with Jesus. It's not recorded what he talked about. But he felt his love. And afterwards, Abraham had a different viewpoint, a different outlook. He had faith. He simply said, I've seen the Lord now. Sometimes you and I need a visit by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need an assurance that we're okay. And the Holy Spirit will come and share that with us. He will comfort us. With his new faith, we read this, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? See that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children, his household after him, that shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord might bring upon Abraham that which is spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come upon unto me. And if not, I will know it. And the men turned their faces from thence and went to Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. You read the rest of the chapter. Abraham said, if there are 50 righteous men in the city, would you spare that? He now had faith. He was not afraid of Jesus. He said, you're the judge of the universe. Would you spare the city for 50? Jesus said, yes. And he kept bringing him down to 10. And Jesus said, yes, I'll spare him for 10. Do you have faith in God? You know, my brother, Sotiris stands up and pray. He has faith. Number one is that God loves him. He had faith that the words he speaks go outside this chapel. He has faith that he's heard in heaven. He has faith that God will hear it and will do what we are praying. But it took Sotiris a long time to find out that God really loves him, cares for him, that God is his father. This is what you need to come to that place, that you really trust and believe the word that God loves you. In chapter, we're going to move up here. When Abraham saw what happened, he saw the smoke and so on. He simply believed. And I want to go back here to chapter 18. And I got a little bit messed up here. No, I want to go back to chapter 18 and verse number 9 is what I want to read. And they said unto him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And he ceased to be reserved to the man or woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And it was unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? at a time appointed, I return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, she lied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid, fear. And he said, nay, but you did laugh. Here we have them now, with a promise, you will have a child. If we go down now to James chapter 2, that's the book of James, comes right before Peter. James chapter 2. And we pick it up in verse number 14. What does it profit, my brethren, that a man may say he has faith, have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and what do you say unto them? Depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What is it profit? Even of faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now, Abraham and Sarah now, they seen Sodom and Gomorrah go up in smoke. They heard God reject Ishmael. And they came to the place, let's get together, let's make love. Let's do our part, and let's have faith that God will do his part. Let's go back to Romans now, chapter 4. That's Romans, chapter 4, verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, and good that was spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen. It took God 25 years to bring Abraham and Sarah to the place where they finally said, God is able. Some time ago, God spoke to me that he wanted me to build a barn on the property we had. And again, every time God has moved in my life, he told me what to do, but he never gave me the means to do it. So I said, okay, well, I don't have the means. Well, we need some blueprints. We need to have an architect. So, we went out, we measured the barn's going to be, we sketched it, we got an architect, and the architect came in a contractor. We told what we wanted, and the architect said, okay, I need a retainer, $400, whatever it was. Well, I just happened to have $400. I wrote a check for $400. Long time before I got it back. Then one day, architect said, we got the plans, we're ready to go. In the meantime, I've been praying and opened a savings account just for this. And God, every month, gave us some extra money. So when we met with the architect, I wrote the check to the architect, cash. I wrote a check to the engineer, cash, and we got that taken care of. Now I got blueprints, money to go. Next step, go to the county. Went to the county. Now, I want to share something with you here so you understand. I took my checkbook with me. I have an overdraft. And I said, God, you haven't given the money yet. I do have these means. And you're telling me to go to put this application in. So I'll go. So I went up and processed half a day. Write a check here, write a check there, and so on. Spent about $1,500 that I didn't have. And came back home. In just a short day or two, God supplied the money, and I didn't need to use the overdraft. Didn't ask anyone for it. It just flew in. I said, thank you, Lord. Here you are now. I got that paid for. The county's working on it. And we're moving. I'm sharing this with you to say this. I'm stepping out in faith, believing that about 8 months from now, that barn will be there. We will have the finances for it. Believing that. But I had to step out in faith. I had to simply say, well, we're going to put the money up for the architect. We're going to put up money for the building permit and so on. And if it doesn't go through, of course, I'll lose all that money. But I'm not going to lose the money. This is what you got to do. When God speaks to you, make sure that you heard this of God. If God tells you to do it, then you do it. You step out in faith, and God will meet you. Amen. Let me finish up this in Romans chapter 4 here. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This was written for us to believe and apply it in our personal lives. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. That's Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. Now we're going to hand some faith to Sarah now. In those days, they did not know how to do a cesarean deliverance. If you had a problem, you died in childbirth. And Sarah now, 90 years old, pregnant, baby growing, she had to have faith that her body would be able to carry the baby and to deliver the baby, that he will not get stuck, that something will not break, but it will be a perfect childbirth. She finally got that faith. And when the day came to give birth, she simply, they didn't lay down in those days. They had birthing chairs where they sat in a chair and the child would drop. That's how they did it in those days. And she had faith that if God made her pregnant, he was going to be able to take the baby out with no complication. She finally got to that place, and she had faith. God, do things for us. I want to go back to 1 John chapter 4 right now. I skipped that, but I'm going to go back to 1 John chapter 4. This is a fantastic verse. This is for us. John chapter 4, verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Herein is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness. For about a year, we lost a German translator. We didn't have one. And I prayed about it. I said, God, we have about 120 million German-speaking people in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and then you have Germans scattered all over the world. I want to reach them. You know what God did? He reached them. He got us a man from Austria, living in Germany, agreed. My brother had talked to him for some time. And I asked him, when my brother asked if you would translate, how did you feel? He said, I could not but say yes, because of what God has done in my life. And I owe it to him. He's doing a fantastic job. Faith. I have faith for a Spanish translator coming up. A Spanish website is down. But I have faith that someday somebody will come up and say, I will translate if we get that up. Amen. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, I want you to listen closely now. You might have been a Christian for many years, and you don't think highly of yourself. There's been defeats. You have a foul mouth at times. You do things you shouldn't do. There's unforgiveness. But you know what? God saved you. God loves you. God is justifying you. And God is saying to you right now, all I need from you is for you to simply raise your hands and say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender my insecurity, my self-hate. I surrender that I don't think highly of myself. And I'm going to begin to speak now. You are my Father. Jesus is my brother. The Holy Spirit is within me. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm in a family. I am loved. And perfect love casts out all fear. If you can come to that place, God will set you free. He will heal your diseases. He will help you to give up your unforgiveness and your bitterness. He will give you new beginnings. But that's what he needs. You got to have faith that God loves you. We're going to close in Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. And we're going to read from verse 1 through 7. This is good stuff. Genesis, let's see, 27. And Abram was 100 years old. I'm in verse 5 now. When his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear would laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abram made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. They called him Isaac. Isaac in Hebrew means laughter. Sarah not only was able to give birth to Isaac, she also had milk in her breast for him. 90 years old, she gave him milk. Breastfed him. And she saw him grew up. You believe? There was laughter. They were happy. And I'm sure that Abraham and Sarah said, God, forgive us. Forgive us for unbelief. Oh, God, you're so good to us. Forgive us for unbelief. That's what we need to do. Forgive us for unbelief, Lord. And help us to believe that you do love me. You do love me. You! He loves you. Accept that. Let it sink in. He loves you. In a few moments, Charles is going to come and lead you, if you're not saved, in salvation. You will not hear, see him, but you would hear him. And if you heard me today and you said, I want to get saved today, listen to Charles. Pray with him, and you will be born again. And to those of you that are saved, I pray today, stop living a lie. Be honest with yourself and say, God, I really don't love myself that much. I need help. I need to love myself more. Give it to me. And he will. Here's Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for this sermon today on faith, Lord. And truly, it is a remarkable story. One of a kind. And we thank you, Father, for helping to increase our faith, each one of us, as we walk through life. It's a tough road at times. And we thank you for the Word of God that carries us through. They had no word back there like we have today. So we thank you for that. Help us to spend the time reading and studying the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the sixth part in the series, The Letter to the Romans, and was entitled, Journey of Faith. Abraham had limited faith when God called him to Canaan, and he lied on two occasions because he did not believe that God had the power to protect him. Abraham's faith began to wane when Sarah was approaching 90 and still had no child. So when Sarah came up with a plan of her own for Abraham to father a son with Hagar, he readily agreed because he had no faith anymore. When God said that Ishmael was not the son of promise and that he would have another son, Abraham was so full of unbelief that he fell to the ground laughing at God. In order to rekindle Abraham's faith, Jesus visited him on the plains of Mamre, and they spent several hours talking face to face. The intended effect was that Abraham now had a personal relationship with the Lord. He convinced Sarah to make love on a regular basis so that God's promise could be fulfilled, and in time she gave birth to Isaac. Abraham was 75 years old when he reached the land of Canaan, but it took another 25 years before he was able to reach the level of faith to believe that nothing is impossible for God. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1577. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 952-946-8681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.